Okay, turn in your Bibles, please, tonight to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Are you there? Let me have your attention for just a minute. Have you ever tried to do right only to turn around and find that everything is going wrong? How does it make you feel? Makes you want to give up, right? To quit trying to do right because it doesn't feel like it's working? I want you to take that feeling that you have and sort of have that as we read this text tonight, okay? Because really that's what Peter's dealing with. Let's take a look at it. 1 Peter chapter 2, we're going to read verse 4 through 8. It says, "To whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed." Father, tonight we do pray that you will, Lord, help our hearts to be open. God, help my heart to be open. Help me to be led by you as I speak for you in the presence of these, your people. God, I pray that you'd open their hearts, that they would hear your word. And Lord, help us to make application to our life. Just the things you'd have us to change, I pray, God, you'd help us to change. Lord, speak to us, please. In Jesus' holy name we pray and ask. Amen. You know, it is true that we can feel like things are so wrong in our life, but at the same time, they're not wrong at all. In fact, they're right, just the way that God wants them to be, but they feel wrong. You know, that's why it's so dangerous when we are sort of, you know, coerced by our heart to follow our feelings. Because our feelings are very deceptive. The same is true on the opposite end. Things can feel right, but be totally wrong. I mean, that's true also. I mean, whenever I, in the evening, it's, you know, late, maybe midnight, and my stomach starts grumbling, and I feel, you know, that feeling, and I get up and go to the kitchen, and I get a big drink of water, right? No. I open the fridge, and I have some cheese and a piece of ham, maybe some chips and queso or salsa, you know, just a few little munchies, right? Why did I do that? Because it felt right. But then in the morning or through the rest of the night, every time I do that, without fail, every single time, I always regret doing that because although it felt right at the time, it was totally wrong. Let me give you another example because that one might be a little bit too silly. Somebody might be tempted to get involved in an adulterous relationship. Why? Because it feels right. But it's not right. And they have no idea that as they get involved with this adulterous relationship, what the future holds in that. The wreck of their testimony, the wreck of their life, the wreck of their family, the ruin of their family. And it develops in them, don't we know this is true? It develops in them scars and regret. So that at the time that they were tempted and fell into this trap of adultery, they felt like it was right, but then in the end they found out that it was wrong. The Christians, that Peter is writing to here are on the opposite end of that. They are doing right. They are standing for truth. But what they're going through is making it feel like it's wrong. What they're struggling with and what they're dealing with in their testimony, in their life, makes it feel like something is desperately wrong. And so what Peter does is his drive, his passion, his desire is to encourage them. He wants them to be encouraged in their struggle, dealing with this turmoil that they have, feeling like things are wrong, but actually having done the right thing. He has just told them that they should crave the Word of God. Remember last time we said they should crave the Word of God? Why did he say that they needed to do that? Because it's their necessary food. And because it's their only source of spiritual sustenance. And it's the same for you and me. We should crave the Word of God. Why? Because it's necessary. We have to have the Word of God, spiritually speaking, or we'll wither, right? We won't be effective for God if we're not exposed to the Word of God, if we're not consuming the Word of God on a consistent basis. It needs to be a part of our life. In everyday life, it needs to be a part of our life because it gives us the food that we need. It gives us the sustenance that we need spiritually. But why would they need such strength? Why would he tell them, hey, you need to crave the Word of God? Because they're going to go through some real struggles. And if they're weak, they won't be able to stand in the time of those struggles. And so he wants them to have a consistent and heavy dose of Scripture as a part of their life, consuming it, craving it as a part of their life. The reason why is because they are going to feel very soon, in fact, they were already going through it, and it might be tonight that you're going through some things, that if you are not strong, if you're not strong in the Word, if you're not spiritually strong, then you won't be able to stand. Because things begin to feel bad. Like, I'm trying to do right, but things aren't going right. And why is that? We've trusted in something that most of the world has rejected. I don't know if that's registered with you all of the way, but there's not very many people in this world who have accepted what you and I have accepted. And so that makes a big difference when it comes to living our life for Christ. Whenever you go outside of this place, you are automatically in a minority when it comes to obedience to God. Verse 4, look what he says. To whom coming? Who did you come to? You came to Christ, right? As unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, he was this living stone, but chosen of God and precious. You see, they trusted in a living stone, didn't they? And Peter wants them to remember that. You trusted in something that is alive. It seems to contrast in an unusual way whenever you speak of a stone that's alive. Usually stones aren't alive. Living stone. A stone that was rejected by men. Now, he goes on to say, precious to God. And they came to God. He was a living stone, a stone that's alive, and Jesus Christ is alive. Now listen, whenever Peter is speaking of a stone here, he is making reference to what the Jews would have understood as the Messiah. In fact, he later quotes from Psalm 118, verse 22. You can look at it later. But as he quotes from this psalm, it is referring to the Messiah. And men did reject Jesus Christ. And he is alive today. And because he lives, you and I are alive. Yeah. And so we're stones too. Christ is a stone. And so are we. Look at verse number 5. It says, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So as stones, God wants to use us to build something that honors Him. That's what the stones are meant to do, to build something. And God wants to use you and I as stones in a building project. He wants to build something up and he wants to use us. And Peter wanted them to know that they were stones that God would use to build something great. Using them, what was he going to build? A temple. A temple that was acceptable to God. Through Jesus Christ, they were the stones that God would use to build a fully operational temple. Look, that's what he says here. He says, lively stones to build up a spiritual house. Well, what is a spiritual house? It's the dwelling place of God. He says, a holy priesthood. He says, to offer up spiritual sacrifices. This is the operations of a temple. And God wants to use these stones to build this temple. They were the stones. And if they were used by God, watch this, ooh, it would be acceptable to God. They would be acceptable. Did you know that tonight you're a part of God's blueprint? You are a part of God's blueprint. You're a part of His master plan, and tonight you're a stone to be used in His hands. Now, along the way, you know, we have temptations that come our way. We have struggles and trials that cause us to be discouraged, to be tempted. And what Peter is saying to these Christians, he's saying to you and I, and that is, we have nothing to be ashamed of whenever God, listen now, when God is the cornerstone of our life, when God is the cornerstone of our building program, when God is the one who is the foundation, then we have nothing to be ashamed of. Look what he says in verse 6. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Sion a chief, watch this, a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. So what Peter is saying to these Christians is that Christ is the chief cornerstone. You and I are stones, but Christ is the chief cornerstone. Now, in the building project, anyone who trusted in him, he says, would not be put to shame. That's what he says in the last part of verse 6. He says, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. And so the scriptures taught that God prepared Christ as the chief cornerstone. What's that mean? The foundation. Jesus Christ is the foundation. And we are the stones that are used to build on Jesus Christ, as he is the one who is the base. Or, the critical aspect of the building process. Without him, we have nothing, right? So anyone who would trust in him would not be ashamed, he says. Isn't that an interesting thing to say? When you talk about God using us and building something great and using us as stones, why would he say something about not being ashamed? Not being confounded? Not being put to shame? Doesn't that shed light on the struggle that these people are having? Yeah. God will, when he is the chief cornerstone of our life, he will use you as a stone to build something great. That is, if you're willing to trust him. Yeah. You know what God wants to build? He wants to build a church in Falls City, isn't that true? And he wants to use you as the stones to build this great church. Yeah. Now he's the cornerstone. And so without Jesus Christ being the foundation, anything we try to build here, it won't last, will it? Yeah. But we're all stones. That is, if you're tonight willing to be used as a stone in the hand of God. Because we have needs, don't we? We have needs of a stone, which would be a nursery worker. Someone who would be a stone in the hand of God used as a nursery worker. Or a stone in the hand of God used as a youth worker. How about junior church? That's exciting, isn't it? Not everybody's built for junior church. I know that's true, but... Or Bible classes being taught by a stone. Yeah. I don't think that gives us an excuse to be boring, though, right? Or the youth group, working in the youth group with kids. We need stones. How about the stone of a musician? You know, we need some people to learn how to play this thing. Well, we have Miss Melissa. I know, we need more. But if you'll allow yourself to be a stone in the hand of God, maybe He'll use you. Maybe He'll use you to be a singer. I was talking to, I think, a few of the guys. I'd love to see a men's quartet here. I was trying to find four guys that could sing, though. Like, okay, I got a couple of guys. One, two, three. It might be that God wants to use you as a singer if you'd be willing to be used as a stone. Or how about a choir? You know, sometimes you don't want to sing a solo or a duet or any of that stuff. But choir, yeah, I can do that if I can sort of blend in with the crowd. But you know, maybe God would have you to be used as a stone in the choir, in the hand of the master builder, God. How about the stone of a witness? Wasn't that a sweet testimony for my wife that God has broken her heart to be a witness? You know, that's something all of us can do and all of us should do. To allow ourselves to be a stone in God's hand, used as a witness. Yeah. Something that I have to do, but I don't really enjoy doing. It would sure be a blessing if God would raise up some stones to take over this thing, and that's records. Thankful for Miss Marilyn. She does a lot of record stuff as far as secretarial type things. But you know what? There's a lot of secretarial things that one person can't do. And it would be nice if God would raise up some stones and use them in secretarial type things. Or how about treasurer type things? You know, there's a lot of different dynamics when it comes to the financial aspect of the church operations. We're not a business. And we're not going to operate like a business. But God does want to use stones so that we can see these things. How about the stone of the mechanic? Some things I know I am not built to do. I cannot fix anything. I can break things, but I cannot fix things. Or maintenance, you know, which I think working mechanics and working maintenance aren't quite the same thing, but you might have a talent in one of those ways. But definitely God can use anybody who's willing to be used as a stone in these areas, or yard work, or cleaning. I was reading some commentary. I ran into this story, really interesting. A Spartan king boasted of a visiting monarch king who was interested about the walls of Sparta. So he was boasting about the walls of Sparta. So when this monarch, this king, came to visit the Spartan king, he began to, observe and look around, but he found no walls. And he went to the Spartan king and he said, "What of these walls that I hear of, the Spartan walls?" Then the Spartan king pointed at his soldiers and said, "There are the walls, each man a brick." The walls of Sparta, each man a brick. You know, God wants to use you as a stone tonight. A brick in His hand. And if He doesn't use us as bricks in His hand to build the great ministry of in Fall City, of Valley Avenue Baptist Church, then it won't happen. Because we are the stones that are meant to be used by God to build the work here. He's the cornerstone, but we are the stones that He uses to build, to erect this great work. It's you and me getting involved, getting engaged in the ministry, taking part in obedience to God to build a wall in Fall City. But what about the things that we get involved with? Because we make commitment. There's nothing wrong with our hearts, I don't think. Because I think I could go across the crowd here, and for the most part, most of you want to be involved. A lot of you already are involved. And you want to have ministry. And it's not the problem with the people that Peter is ministering to either. You know what the problem is? That they have gotten involved with ministry and things started going wrong. And now they're having doubts like, okay, so I am doing everything that I'm supposed to do, but now it seems like everything is going wrong. In the world around us, as we make decisions for God, at times it seems like things start going wrong and we lose momentum And as Christians, we get discouraged because we're trying to do right, but things aren't going right. So why is this? And we start to feel something inside, don't we? Because we've made decisions for God and we've been committed to God, but now, because things aren't going right and we feel like things are wrong, that maybe we aren't doing something right. And maybe God's blessings isn't on this place. Maybe things aren't what they are supposed to be. Even though I thought I was doing what God wanted me to do here, I thought I was being involved like God wanted me to be here. And this is exactly how these Christians felt. I mean, as he is writing to them, he wants them to understand that they've been, listen now, they've been alienated from society. They have been suffering the loss not only of status, but they have been suffering horrible torture and torments through the government. And a lot of them began to question if they'd even made the right choice in turning to God. So Peter wants to reassure them that they were stones in the hands of the master builder. That's what he wants them to know. And so as he begins to tell them in reassurance that they are on the right track and they are stones in the hand of the master builder, and even though you've made good decisions and things seems like they're going wrong, God wants to reassure you and me that we're on the right track too. Yeah. You know, the world is offended. Can I say that again? Let me have your attention. The world is offended at the pattern of life that you and I have chosen. You say, no, the world isn't offended. Oh no, they are offended. If you believe the book, if you believe this black book right here, the world is offended at you. And if you don't feel that offense, and it's probably because you're not standing for it. Just be honest about it tonight, okay? You find yourself, when you begin to turn your heart to God and you get engaged in the ministry and you start to allow yourself through humility to be used by the master builder as a stone who is humble in the hands of a mighty God, you will not be popular in this world. You will not be liked. You will actually at times feel persecution. Now what it looks like today is a lot different than what Peter's audience looked like in Bible times, but it's persecution nonetheless. And the ridicule that you feel at the least will make you feel like you've done something wrong. But you haven't. Look at verse 7. He says, "Unto you therefore which believe he is precious." And that's what we are, aren't we? We've trusted him, haven't we? But, verse 7. "Unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner." That's the one they rejected. That's Christ. Verse 8. "And a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed." Disobedient. So Peter said that these Christians had trusted in God. However, those that were around them in the world were disobedient. And listen to what he said. He said, they're offended at the word. That's our message. So not only have you and I accepted and trusted in God, and we want to relinquish ourselves, give ourselves to him, which means we deny ourselves, right? And we give ourselves to him as the master builder to use us in the building of the ministry, the building of our lives. We are a stone in the hands of the master builder. The world looks at us, and not only did they reject our message, they're rejecting us. They're disobedient to God. And listen to this. They are offended. They're offended. The message that we preach, the world trips. They stumble over it. The message is the gospel. The word is the gospel. And they don't listen. They don't hear it. And they stumble over it. Now, I want you to get this tonight. God will use you as a stone to build. He will use you as a stone to build with when you trust him. When you trust him tonight, he'll use you as a stone to build something great. Oh, I hope you'll relinquish yourself to him tonight and allow him to use you to build something great in your life and at this church, you know what? He'll do something great through you even though the world around you rejects it. And in your life, it begins to feel like you've done something wrong. You've not done anything wrong. He'll still use you. He is using you. Just because things tonight seem like they're going wrong, it doesn't mean that things aren't just right. I remember God called me to be here in Fall City. He spoke to my heart and He led my family here, and it was hard. You know, it was a hard transition. Anytime you have a transition, it's hard. We moved here, and I thought, well, you know, God's going to do a great work in Falls City. But then we were here for a year, and we didn't grow at all. We lost people. And it was hard. How hard? I asked God to move me every single Saturday and Monday. I asked Him to move me. I wasn't going to move if He didn't move me. But I asked Him to. Every Saturday night I cried, and every Monday I cried. Not because I was a baby, I was discouraged. Because, I knew I was where God wanted me to be, but it felt so wrong. Because nothing was happening. Nobody was coming. Nobody was getting saved. People were leaving. People did not want me in this town. But on my knees, I pray. God says, stay. So we stay. And it was hard. A lot of family turmoil, a lot of struggles, but a lot of blessings as we grew as a family. You know what? Struggling financially, struggling, you know, spiritually, struggling in all kinds of ways, the ministry, you know, feeling like there's nobody here to help, just Melissa and me and Miss Marilyn, and that's all, you know? And there was a lot of work to do. And so we prayed and we prayed. And you know what? God began to do something amazing. He began to bring more people. And people started getting saved. And then the offerings started going up. They're still not where they're supposed to be, so pray about that. But they're not what they used to be. And we prayed. I'm telling you what. We've been here almost 4 years. And we prayed for all of that time that God would send somebody here to help us. Oh, just send somebody to help us. We just need somebody to help. And I started losing hope, you know. And everything felt wrong, even though I knew we were where God wanted us to be. And when you get to that point, when we got to that point, the one thing we wanted to do was quit. But you can't quit. Because sometimes it feels like things are wrong, but it's right. And God began to answer those prayers. And then God worked in a young man named Brother Chad. And now he's here to help us. And he's an answer to prayer. And God has worked in all these different ways so that we can see now, I can see now, that all of that time, it felt like something was wrong. There was nothing wrong. Nothing was wrong. But it felt like something was wrong. And it might be the same for you. As you're trying to live for God, as you're trying to stand for Him, and you're making decisions for God, just trying to be right where He wants you to be, and things don't seem to be going right. Things start to feel like something is wrong. I'm standing for God, trying to do what God wants me to do, and things are not turning out the way that I feel like they should turn out. And so in your life, you get tempted like, I don't want to do this anymore. There's nothing for me here. And the ministry that you might determine as a stone to be used, and you get involved at church, and you're a part of, the music, or you're a part of the nursery, or you're a part of, another facet of the ministry that we spoke of, and you feel like God wants you to do it, and you get involved, and then things start, it seems like things are not going right. It's not going well, and things, it feels like things are falling apart. I want you to know tonight, if you're where God wants you to be, and you're doing what God wants you to to do, then remain faithful to it. Because even though it feels like things are wrong, it doesn't mean things are wrong. It's things are just right, even though things feel like they're wrong. So be faithful and watch God bring you through those things and do a great thing. My heart is concerned for young people, you know, and I love these young people, and my heart aches and is concerned as they get older and they begin to not just covet, but feel like they're missing out. You know, and I've seen it so many times in young people that they are growing up in church with parents who are trying to point them in the right direction, which is good. If you have a mom and dad that protects you and points you in the right direction, that's a good thing, and we need that. But while you're at home and you look out there at stuff you can't do, you feel like, what, you're missing out, right? And things, even though you're doing right, it feels wrong. That doesn't mean it's wrong. It doesn't. Be faithful. Because God is using you as a stone, and He's using you like you don't even realize. Remain faithful. It's not going to help you to jump out and to quit what you know is right. I think about young people who, and I'm thankful for Brother Chad to go to Washington. Wonderful young lady there. But you know, I know that young people, as they get to that age where they start to, you know, begin to get serious about who am I going to get married to, you know, I'm kind of getting closer to that age. What happens in young people? The same thing that I said about teenagers or kids that are looking out there at stuff they can't do. The same thing happens with young people, and they say, well, I'm in Falls City and there's nobody here, you know. Listen, you give yourself to God and let Him use you as a stone, as He is the master builder. And even though sometimes in your life, wherever you are, whatever dynamic you're in your life, and things don't feel like they're right, you can trust that God has everything right in line for your life. And you can trust Him. And won't do you one bit of good to jump out and to quit. It won't do any good. And this is what Peter is trying to encourage these Christians. And they're feeling like because they've done right, and they're trying to stand for what's right, and they're looking out and they're seeing this persecution, and it feels like everything is wrong. Peter says, no, 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 no. Nothing is wrong. You are doing right, and you stay faithful to do what you know is right. And you watch God do something great with you as He uses you as a stone to build something great in your life and to build something great at this church. He wants to use you tonight. He does. But when things get hard, we gotta trust that God knows what He's doing and that He's going to use us. And He knows in our life what we need. He knows what we don't understand. And we can trust Him to do that great work. My heart tonight is burdened for some that are having struggles, feeling like things aren't going well, and you're trying to do right. Just be faithful. Stay where God wants you to stay. It never makes it better when you run away, does it? I suppose I just have one thing that I can ask you, and then we'll be done. And that is, are you tonight, are you a stone that's in the hand of the master builder? Have you given yourself to Him to use you? Because there's a lot that we need to do. So we need to get involved. We need to take part. We need to let God use us wherever He chooses to use us to build something great here. And then when it gets hard and things don't feel right, trust that He knows and you be faithful. Tonight, Father, we pray Your blessings and Your help. And it might be tonight that some folks are feeling the struggle that some of these early Christians were feeling, and the persecution and the struggles and the hard things, the trials, Lord. I pray that You'll help, Lord, Your people tonight to recognize where their struggles are and what their great need is, Lord. Whether it's a ministry or whether it's at their job situation, Lord. or whether it's they're a young person and they're seeing the world and feeling like they're missing out. Lord, I just pray that you'll help us tonight to be committed to you and faithful. And we'll give you the glory. It's in your name we pray and ask. Amen.